Company of Mary Hospital v. Sebelius. Mr. Alderman or Ms. Alderman?
And please the court. Mr. Keating? It is Mr. Alderman.
That's a problem with Leslie, I'm afraid.
There are three things that I'd like to talk about today. The first being the controlling nature of Edgewater. The second being, I guess, the root of today's case, which is the board appeal, and then the third being the deference, if any, that's owed to the secretary. We would suggest, starting with the first.
Now your complaint is about, or your complaint about this, your SSI percentage, is that right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And you're complaining that the that you couldn't get reconsideration of the fiscal intermediaries. What, you wanted the fiscal intermediary to?
That's correct. If I may, Your Honor, we wanted the fiscal intermediary to reopen.
Now, could the fiscal intermediary have changed that SSI percentage?
We believe that they could have, yes, we believe that they could have adjusted the total reimbursement in light of updated Social Security percentage information.
Can I ask a bottom line question? Is it your position that when you seek reopening of multiple issues, the reconsideration of one issue necessarily constitutes a reopening of all the issues?
All of the issues challenged. Yes, Your Honor.
But what if they just refused to reopen the other issues? What if they just said, we're not reopening those? We're not ruling on them pro or con. We're just not reopening. If they said that, what would your situation be?
We would say that that would be contrary to the regulations. Reopening is a blunt instrument. Reopening is a reopening of the intermediary's determination, which is defined as a determination of the total reimbursement owed to the hospital. So it is the entire thing that is reopened.
Reopening is mandatory, you're saying?
What I'm saying is that the reopening is broader in scope.
Is reopening mandatory?
It is not mandatory, no, sir.
What?
In fact,
circumstances is it required? I don't understand.
It's solely in the intermediary's discretion to reopen or not.
Okay, so if he says, I'm not reopening this SSI percentage issue, that's the end of it?
No, Your Honor. And here's the reason. The intermediary can say yes or no total to the entire reopening. It can't parse what it wants to address.
Why not?
Because that's not how the regulations work.
Where does the regulation forbid that?
1885A says that the provider may move to reopen an intermediary determination. 18401, sorry, this is section 405.1801A1, I believe, says in these rules, intermediary determination means total program reimbursement. It's not the calculation of one particular issue, it's the total program reimbursement. So the reopening is of the total program reimbursement. If the intermediary wanted to say no and not open any of it, it could, and that would be unreviewable under your home. So in this case, presented with a multifaceted reopen request, two issues, the intermediary could have said, no, we're not reopening at all. That would be unreviewable, and we wouldn't be here. But what they did is they said, yes, we will reopen, and we will adjust one issue.
That's very bad for people in your position, right? Because then they'll say, well, you know, if we reopen, we've got to reopen everything, so we won't reopen anything.
Well, and that's...
Then you say they have complete discretion to do that.
They do have complete discretion, and that is bad for us.
Yeah, that is bad, so I don't see how you come out ahead.
Well,
if we established the principle, we said, look, if the financial intermediary doesn't want to be bothered with reopening, it doesn't have to. But if it does, want to reopen one thing, well, it'll have to reopen everything.
Now, it's not everything. It's not everything in the cost report. It's only everything that was challenged.
Right, everything that was challenged. So.
But, Your Honor, that is the state of the law.
Challenges. Anyway, what sense does that make?
Well, it's what the regulations say.
What sense does it make? Maybe it's nonsense. You could argue that.
Your Honor, the sense that it makes is that it promotes the providers using the board appeal route rather than the intermediary reopening route. And the board appeal route has 180 days. The intermediary reopening has 3 years. So by that blunt instrument, yes or no to a reopening, it prompts the hospitals to get their appeals in timely before the PRB.
Which you didn't do.
They did not file within the 180 days. But neither did the hospital in Edgewater. And this court held in Edgewater that all items challenged were subject to board jurisdiction. This case is directly on point with Edgewater.
Yeah, I didn't understand Edgewater.
I like Edgewater. It's good. Edgewater, what Edgewater does is it tracks the regulations one by one, and it kind of goes through what I just indicated, that a reopening is a blunt instrument. It reopens the entire cost report.
Forgive me. Let me just, because I'm trying to understand Edgewater too. All four issues in Edgewater had been reopened, and a new decision made as to each of them, and so they were all appealable, right?
Right.
Right. Okay.
I might correct the vocabulary. And that is that the cost report was reopened and all four of the challenged items were reconsidered. One of them was adjusted.
But here, there's no evidence that the SSI fraction issue was ever reopened.
Well, there is.
Well, the reopening was only for the Medicaid issue, not the SSI issue.
No, and again, Your Honor, the reopening applied to the total program reimbursement. The two issues that were reconsidered as a result of that reopening were the SSI fraction and the Medicaid days.
Okay. Where's the evidence that reopening was granted as to the SSI issue? Where's the evidence that the SSI issue was actually reconsidered?
Sure. The Secretary, in both the reply brief before this court and the reply brief before the district court, conceded that the SSI issue had been reconsidered pursuant to the reopening request. That's in both briefs. Also, the evidence that we added to the appendix is an email exchange between the intermediary and the hospital's fiscal intermediary, where the intermediary is asking about information that supports the hospital's SSI percentage. So there's direct evidence that they were reconsidering it following the reopening request. Now, the government does not want this court to consider that email and indicates that that's extra record evidence, that it shouldn't be considered, that we should just forget about it, which is, to me, we believe that's wrong, because this court should be considering the relevant evidence.
But they didn't rule on the SSI issue, right?
That's correct. They didn't adjust it.
Right. Well, they didn't say anything about it. They didn't say, right?
That's correct.
They ignored it. Yeah.
Ignored it. So this
is. You said earlier there's something about total, that all they can do is change total program reimbursement.
What is
that?
Yes, sir. If you take a look at 1885A.
Yeah, we went over 1885. That doesn't say anything about total.
Right. Your Honor, what that says is...
You mentioned another section.
And that's...
That's what I'm asking about. What's the other section?
18401.
Why isn't that in your table of contents?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. It's 1801, not 1804.
That's not in it either.
if it's not there, it's because 1801 is a definition section. The term is used in 1885A.
What
definition
term?
Is contained in 1801? So
what term is used in 1805?
Term intermediary determination. Or determination of an intermediary.
Right. And you're saying it's defined somewhere else?
Yes, Your Honor. And that's in 1801.
What?
405.1801. And that says an intermediary determination is...
What does it say exactly?
You know, I don't believe I have a copy of it.
Pardon?
I don't believe that I have a copy of it.
Okay.
Edgewater also goes through that... Pardon me?
It's critical to your argument, but you don't have a copy. You don't know the exact wording.
Edgewater also quotes 1801A. When it goes through the same regulatory, navigation. So
at page 4 and pages 34 and 35 of the government's brief.
That's right, Your Honor. At the bottom of 34,
right.
Just as the statute 42 U.S.C. 1395-00A refers to the fiscal intermediaries.
Bottom of what? What are you talking about?
34.
Of what? What brief?
The red.
It goes on to say on page 35, refers to the fiscal intermediary's final determination of the total amount of reimbursement due. The regulations at 1801A1 define intermediary determination in similar terms, referring back to total amount of reimbursement due. And that's the exact same thing that Edgewater did, and I think that's around page 30.
I don't see 1801A. I don't know what you're talking about.
Your Honor, it's at the top of page 35, 42 CFR, section 405.1801A1.
Yeah, and there and what? I don't see that. I don't see a definition of final determination as being total. Or your argument is a determination of an intermediary has to be a determination of total amount of reimbursement due.
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, it doesn't say that here.
The way I read it, Your Honor, starting on page 34 at the bottom, just as the statute, section 1395-00A, refers to the fiscal intermediary's final determination of the, quote, total amount of reimbursement due, the regulations 42 CFR 405.1801A define intermediary determination.
But that's not the same thing as saying determination always means total amount, determination of total amount of. You're putting all your weight on total.
That's what the regulations say, Your Honor. I apologize for not having it here with me. That's also a big part of the Edgewater decision, that very definition.
What, I want to repeat what you just said.
That's a big part of the Edgewater reasoning is that decision that
I don't see that in Edgewater.
No,
either.
I don't either.
Your Honors, perhaps when I come up for rebuttal, I'll have that section identified for you, because it is there. As we said, the facts of this case in Edgewater are similar and on point. The Edgewater holding is controlled.
Edgewater opened the entire NPR, didn't it?
Your Honor, because...
It did, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's not our case here, is it?
Well, it is.
You decided
it is the case.
The fiscal intermediary decided only to reopen with respect to the eligible days and the baby eligible days, didn't it?
What happened is that the fiscal intermediary reopened the cost report. What was at issue in that reopening were those two issues, the Medicaid days and SSI percentage. Those two issues that were challenged.
There's a logic to your argument, because right. You can see the financial intermediary can refuse to reconsider anything. But then you say, but he can't just refuse to reconsider one thing. Well, what sense does it make? It doesn't make any sense. If he refuses to reconsider everything, why can't he refuse to reconsider some things?
And again, Your Honor, that's just a...
It doesn't make any sense.
It may not make sense.
Well, you don't even have the section in which you says, you know, it's in the regulation. You can't even show it where it says in the regulation because you don't have it. That's your whole argument. So your whole argument is for a senseless result based on a regulation which you haven't shown us.
Our whole argument is that Edgewater is directly on point and is controlling.
Well,
it's the law of the Seventh Circuit.
Judge pointed out it's not, right?
But to take Your Honor's point, it is on point. What happens is that the intermediary reopens the cost report. The provider may then appeal to the board, but the only thing that the provider may appeal to the board are those issues that were in play in that reopening. And that's defined, according to Edgewater, as the issues that are challenged.
There's no indication in this case that there is going to be an examination of the SSI fraction.
We have direct evidence that it was, in fact, considered, and
But they didn't make a decision. They decided not to reopen. Yeah, it's like cert, right? I mean, the Supreme Court can grant cert or not grant cert, but obviously it first looks at the cert petition before it decides whether to grant. But the fact that it's looked at the cert petition doesn't mean that it's obligated to consider the merits, right? Just turns it down.
What happened is it agreed to reopen. It disagreed to adjust. It's very different things.
That's the question, whether it disagreed to adjust or just decided, as in the cert case, that it wasn't going to get into this SSI business.
Your Honor, regardless of whether you agree with me that Edgewater is controlling, we still go to the original board...
You overread Edgewater.
Pardon me?
You overread Edgewater. That's the simple problem. Under that, if Edgewater stood for that, then you'd have a myriad of reopenings on every time there was a challenge. Isn't that right? Is that your argument?
No, Your Honor.
It's unlimited.
No, absolutely not. We agree that it is issue specific. For example, if you challenge four items in a reopening request, the intermediary then reopens and adjusts all four of them, but maybe not to your liking. You can't then appeal to the board to review a fifth item that was in the cost report but that you did not challenge in that reopening request. So it is, we agree that there is an issue
of
specificity.
It's such a transparent trick. Because what happens is, suppose you missed your 180 days. You had 10 appealable issues. You missed the deadline. You're finished. Now, years later, you come up and you have actually some meritorious basis for reopening. So you ask for the reopening on the meritorious ground, plus the 10 other grounds which you should have appealed and could have appealed but didn't. And then when the financial intermediary reexamines that meritorious ground and says nothing about any of the others, you get your appeal years later.
But that's just it, Your Honor. The control belongs to the intermediary. For the exact reason that you just said, they say
no to the entire reopening. Suppose there is a meritorious ground, so they do want to examine that. That doesn't obligate them to examine all your frivolous grounds.
Correct. And that's why the intermediary is permitted on its own authority to reopen. That those are the French hospital,
Anaheim.
It wants
to reopen. There's one genuine issue to be reopened, and it doesn't want to look at the other 10.
Correct.
And that's what you don't permit. You say if they, that any of the other 10 are automatically deemed denied, even if the financial intermediary says nothing about it.
Judge Posner, what the intermediary may do is deny the hospital's reopening request and then issue a sua sponte reopening on that one issue. And that's how the intermediary maintains control over the matter. So
fair enough.
But your time has long expired,
so you'll have to stop. And Mr. Keating?
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. For the court's convenience, I would just like to point out that the regulation that the hospital was discussing, section 405.1801, it's at page 8 of the addendum to the red brief, the Appellee's brief. And I should say,
page on what? I'm sorry.
Page 8 of the addendum to the red brief is where that definition is.
Right.
And I should say on that subject that that definition only is part of a much more complicated regulatory scheme. I think really you have to look first to the reopening regulations themselves, and that would be section 405.1885A, which specifically provides for reopening of specific, quote, findings on matters at issue, close quote, in the determination.
Where's that?
That would be, Your Honor, at page 17 of the addendum to the red brief. So I think to unpack the way this works, you have the determination, the final determination of the total amount of reimbursement, but that it effectively is the sum total of numerous discrete findings that are made by the intermediary on different reimbursement issues.
At a minimum, were the two issues for which reopening is sought are related, and the intermediary grants reopening as to one issue, shouldn't the intermediary be required to at least affirmatively declare that it is rejecting opening of the other issue before we will simply assume that it did so?
Well, Your Honor, there is no specific requirement to that effect. Reopening is not even addressed in the Medicare statute. The regulations do not require a specific mode of response by the intermediary. It may well be that the intermediary didn't say anything specifically about the SSI fraction because everyone recognizes that the SSI fraction is exclusively determined by the agency, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The fiscal intermediary has no authority whatsoever with respect to that.
See, the PR...
Why isn't that the end of the case? I don't understand. Why couldn't we have a one-page brief?
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, I think it is a fairly straightforward case. It's not as difficult...
If you can't adjust, then there's no case. I mean, then they couldn't get any relief. I don't understand.
Yes. The provider asked for a reopening of two different fractions. The intermediary specifically reopened the one that it had the authority to reexamine, and if it determined necessary, to revise. But the intermediary simply didn't address the other fraction because that's exclusively within the jurisdiction of CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
And when you say the authority, it's because of the 180-day deadline?
Well, in terms of authority over the two fractions, you have to look to the substantive regulation itself. That would be section 412.106 at page 21 of the addendum. That's the so-called disproportionate share payment adjustment regulation, and that spells out all the details about the two fractions, and it makes very clear that it's CMS that determines the SSI fraction, not the intermediary. And if the court were to to look at the one decision that we cite by the D.C. District Court called Bay State Medical Center. That court discusses in great detail everything about the SSI fraction, and clearly it's all a CMS matter. It's not a fiscal intermediary matter. So it's not surprising that the intermediary essentially just ignored that part of the reopening request. And, of course, the Supreme Court has held that when an intermediary refuses to reopen, that that's committed to the agency's unreviewable discretion. That's your home. Now, admittedly, the intermediary didn't flatly refuse, but the effect of not saying anything about the SSI fraction and not doing anything about it, it's hard to see how that's really different functionally. I mean, if a flat refusal to reopen is not reviewable, as the Supreme Court concluded, then simply saying nothing and doing nothing, why should a different result obtain? It wouldn't seem to make sense.
Yeah.
Whereas the board's decision here, we submit, safeguards the 180-day appeal period in the statute, because this SSI fraction was finally determined in September of 2000, but they did not appeal for almost 4 years after the 180-day period expired, the SSI fraction. They did not appeal that. And that's just way too late. That's not the system that Congress established.
And what reason was given for that? I mean, you may be the wrong person to ask, but what reason was given?
For the hospitals?
For the four-year
Well, Your
lapse.
Honor, it may be, frankly, this Bay State medical decision by the D.C. District Court may have informed this particular provider that maybe there was an issue about the SSI fraction that they would like to appeal. Maybe that's what happened. That's a relatively recent decision. By then, it was way too late to take a timely direct appeal under the statute, so they asked for a reopening. But again, the intermediary doesn't have any discretion, really, with respect to the SSI fraction. That's a CMS matter, not an intermediary matter.
And it really can be a tragedy for the hospitals, can't it? A case like this.
Well, Your Honor, I don't know about a tragedy. Perhaps it's a missed opportunity, certainly. Had they focused on this during the 180-day appeal period, they could have appealed it. And, in fact, what some providers actually do is they'll take a timely appeal of one issue, and then they have a right to add issues to that appeal under the regs in effect. For this time period, they can add an issue any time before the hearing, before the review board, which is often years later. So if this hospital had simply taken a timely direct appeal of any issue, just one, and then later, when this matter was brought to their attention about the SSI correction, they could have added that issue. But this record does not indicate that they took any appeal at all of any issue from the initial NPR. And I think the other reason that the board's decision just makes really good sense here is just the magnitude of the program. I mean, you have tens of thousands of providers and only a handful of contractors that have to administer the program. And each provider files an annual cost report. It's voluminous. It includes numerous discrete items. And it would just be infeasible if every time the intermediary reopened one matter in a cost report that includes a huge number of discrete matters, that it brought everything into play again. That's just not the way the system works. It would be infeasible. It would break down. And I think the only other thing I would say is this case is not Edgewater. In Edgewater, the intermediary reconsidered four items, changed one. This court held that jurisdiction pertained to the things that were reconsidered but not revised. But here the SSI fraction was not, there's no evidence that it was reopened, reconsidered, or revised. None. And certainly the Secretary has not conceded that it was reconsidered. What we said was that the intermediary presumably considered the request for reopening. That's fundamentally different than reconsidering the SSI fraction itself. Those are two completely different things. Mm-hmm. Unless there are any further questions, we would ask that the district court's judgment be affirmed.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Keating.
Thank you.
Mr. Alderman, would you like another minute?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Just to take the court through the regulatory definitions that we're talking about, 405-1801 contains the definition of intermediary determination and says intermediary determination means the following, and then a big dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, we've been through that. So Mr. Keating made a pretty good point about feasibility.
He did, and that would have been a great point, but it appears nowhere in either the fiscal...
It's certainly something we can consider. He's correct, isn't he, that frequently there are multiple requests, that there are these thousands of providers, obviously.
And it's exactly why the regulations leave the discretion to reopen or not entirely in the intermediary's hands.
That just means they're never going to reopen anymore because, you know, you guys are going to stack all the issues you forgot to appeal on within the 180 days you'll put in your petitions to reopen.
Well, these regulations, which we argue permit exactly what happened here, these regulations have now been changed. The Secretary has changed it dramatically so that the only thing that the Board has jurisdiction over is items that were specifically revised on reopening. The intermediary never argued that it was without authority before the Board to make any correction based on the SSI, and the Board never used that as a part of its reasoning for rejecting jurisdiction. And we have to look at the Board's decision. It was arbitrary and capricious, not in accordance with the law, because it's directly contrary to Edgewater. Edgewater says...
Okay, well, we understand your argument. We're going to have to move on to other things. So thank you, Mr. Alderman and Mr. Keating.
Thank you.
The court is going to take a brief recess before we hear...